Good. And here's Hooven! And Hooven gets it!
Would you like to be back? Yes.
This is tough.
Yeah, it is what it is.
McElhenney just beginning to show more and more now for Dundalk.
Yeah, they've grown into the game, Dundalk, having a bright start from Rovers.
Stuffy's corner.
Oh, it's there! It's Sean Hoare. Brilliantly executed. Wonderful corner by Michael Duffy into just the right place. Hoare arrived and buried it with a header. Duffy. Oh, beautiful goal. Robbie Benson.
It really needs a spark from Shamrock Rovers to ignite some kind of second-half performance. Dundalk comfortable at 2-0. Kavanagh away from Shields. Kavanagh looking for the run here of Green. And Green's in. And there you are, direct route. And Dundalk finally concede again. Aaron Green gets the goal. Massey first time forward towards McElhenney, holding off O'Neill. And now it's Duffy. And Duffy with a shot! And Duffy with a goal! Here they come with Burke. And it's Graham Burke still. McInniff. Oh, they've got another one.
Yeah, they've got another one, but not enough. Dundalk are the champions. Welcome to the RTE Soccer Podcast. As you can perhaps tell, we're coming to you tonight from Oriel Park, the scene of a magnificent victory for Dundalk, their fifth league title in six seasons. I'm joined by Pat Fenlon, Alan Cawley, James O'Toole is here as well, and we could be getting plenty of reaction. Alan, come to you first. I mean, it was a formality. Dundalk were always closing in on the title, but they got the job done. But what an eventful game.
Yeah, it was. It certainly had plenty of incident, Adrian, but I always felt like Shamrock Rovers, the first 15 minutes started okay, but it was funny, I felt a skirmish. There was a bit of handbags and obviously the players got involved. I felt that kind of sparked Dundalk into life almost, and it was almost the case of there's no way you're coming here to our ground and dictating play and all, and that woke them up a little bit. And once they got a foothold in the game and took control, they were the dominant force throughout, and obviously Sean Hoare's goal. And in the second half, I know that they gave away a sloppy goal and let Rovers back into it, but I never felt they were ever in doubt. There was a few half chances towards the end as well, but I never felt they were in doubt. And obviously Michael Duffy's goal, what a way to win a league title as well, and he's been doing that all season. I think that's his 11th goal. He's been doing it the last two or three seasons, never mind just this season, Adrian. And they're a brilliant team, and that's what I love about them. There's so many facets to their game. They can battle, they can mix it up, they can go long, they can go short, they can play intricate stuff. Whereas I felt Shamrock Rovers, it's all very one-dimensional with them, and it's almost easy to defend. Very similar players, samey type players, loads of centre midfielders. You're looking at Ronan Finn, who had to play on the right tonight, and at one stage he wants to come in as well, and I remember taking a picture of it. Actually, we were right behind it, and there was literally nobody, and it was, and the two set, all the players were camped within the width of the 18 yard box, and it was easy enough to defend when it's all in front of them. And I just feel that's the problem for Shamrock Rovers going forward, because as I say, Dundalk, they're a far better outfit in terms of all the facets to their play, and it's been not only proved tonight, but it's been proved the last number of seasons.
Yeah, we'll come on to Shamrock Rovers in due course, and indeed the magnitude of the achievement by Dundalk. But on the game itself, Pat, how did you see it in terms of Shamrock Rovers, their approach, and obviously Dundalk getting the job done?
Yeah, listen, I think Rovers started well, but I think Dundalk were always happy to let them have the ball in front of them. Alan talks about all their midfielders. For me, the problem with all the midfielders, they all want to come off the game. None of them want to go beyond the striker or get into that area where they can hurt you. You know, we've seen Jack Bourne tonight, Crane Burke, all looking to pick the ball up on the wrong side. And you've got McInniff there, and you've got Gary O'Neill there already. So it's a problem they have. They've got so many players at that central position. It's how to fit them into the team. Ronan Finn, as a right wing back, you know, was not positioned. Ronan can play him for me, you know. And that's obviously a problem for Rovers. But listen, you can talk about Rovers, but Dundalk, I always felt, even, you know, Rovers started the game, but it didn't cause Dundalk too many problems. You know, maybe one half chance off the corner kick, Roberto Lopez should hit the target. But I always felt Dundalk just were making their way into the game when they scored a goal. And after that, there was only one winner. You give Rovers credit for sticking at it. But if you think about it, when it went 3-1, Massey hit the post to make it, could have made it 4-1. They had another chance that Rovers copped up as well. So, but listen, Chris Shields made a good point after the game about winning games. They won the League Cup on penalties, had to scrap it. They got a Waterford, didn't play well, won in the Cup or in the League. And they come here tonight and played really well and won a game. And when you're winning leagues, when you have to win leagues, you have to win all types of matches.
Well, stay with us, Pat, because it is a very jubilant night here at Oriel Park. And I'm delighted to say we're joined by Michael Duffy, who scored one of the goals of the season. We have to ask you first, whatever about the title, what about the goal?
I'm buzzing with that. Scored a couple of good ones this year, but that's definitely my favourite.
just opened up for me, and I think Fats was shouting shoot, so I don't think there was any pass on, so I've just hit it as hard as I can, and thankfully it's went right in the top corner.
Yeah, you didn't need any second invitation to have a shot.
No, definitely not.
You met it so sweetly, it just flew in.
I know, I couldn't have caught it any better. Like, 9 times out of 10 that probably goes miles over the bar, but thankfully on the night it's been done.
What does this achievement mean to you and to all of the Dundalk players?
It's unbelievable. Like, this is where I came to the club. They won trophies and won leagues, won cups, and this is my second now. But like, what the lads have done since we were 13 points behind, it's unbelievable, and it hasn't.
The one with the goal, if you watch it again, McElhenney does brilliant for it, because it's not an easy ball to him. He's had to scrap and hold her up. He's really strong, holds it up well, just rolls it into Michael's pad. Listen, there's still a lot to do, but McElhenney does really well for the goal, because he's had to battle and scrap for it, and then just lays into his pad, and listen, the finish is fantastic.
Was it a nervy end at all when they got it back to 3-2, or were you happy that you'd see it out?
It was a bit nervy, because they obviously moved the ball so quick, and they played well tonight. They made it tough for us, and but they didn't really create many clear-cut chances. But it's always going to be nervy, you know. Like, we need to hold on to that goal. They won the league, so but thankfully we did. The boys in defence were brilliant.
Everyone speaks so much, Mick, about kind of the player-driven environment, and obviously Vinny mentioned a lot in his interview after the match as well. Just in terms of, I suppose, from people listening who wouldn't know the inside of a dressing room, just exactly what that entails and the standards that you're setting for yourselves every day, and just how professional you are.
Are you just like, you know, looking by all our games, the amount of the players that everyone's played, you know, played, that it's been, the squad's been rotated so much, and everyone's got so much game time, and just shows the professionalism that everyone's done, you know, every day in training. It's you know, everyone's trying their hardest, everyone wants to get in the team. There's so much competition, and it's been like that all year, and like even the boys who don't play, they just stick at it and stick at it, and it just drives everyone on. Like, everyone knows that eventually they're going to get their chance, and everyone's played a big part this year, and that's why we've stuck together so well.
And it's a very special night, isn't it, for Vinnie Perth, because of course he was right-hand man to Stephen Kenny, who we were delighted to say was here tonight watching Dundalk clinch the title. But for Vinnie and for John Gill and everybody involved with the management team, you've won the EA Sports Cup, now the league title, there's a possible treble. But for him, on a personal level, it's a great achievement.
Oh, it's brilliant for Vin. Like, he's been great for us since he's took over, and it's obviously, it was a big job for him, given how well Stephen done and stuff, but Vinny deserves everything he's got, you know, with the two trophies, and hopefully we can go on and get another one for him.
So will you be allowed to enjoy this one, or is it straight back to business and the Cup semi-final on Sunday? Will you have a bit of a night of it?
As two Sligo men here speaking, go out for the next four or five nights and do what you want.
Give him a check
now. No, we'll enjoy our night tonight. You know, well deserved. We haven't got a break the past 2 months, really. You know, we haven't got a chance to even have a weekend off, so we're going to enjoy our night and then get our heads down straight away and focus on a huge game on Sunday.
Well, enjoy the night, and thanks for coming up to talk to us. Thanks, Mick.
Cheers.
That's Michael Duffy. John Murphy is also here, played for Dundalk back in the day.
Back in the old days.
Dare I say it, the 60s?
Yeah. What a wonderful night for Dundalk, like, you know. And it's what they deserve, because they've come back in April. Rovers were 13 points ahead. Two games in hand, all right, but the boys there will tell you, games don't mean nothing unless you get the points. We got the points, and we ended up coming in the night 12 points ahead. That shows you, not only the character of the team, but the way things have been run here now. They've been run well. Players know they've been looked after. Everybody around the place has been looked after, you know, and they've set a new example to everyone else in the league. Unfortunately, some people haven't the money to go with them, as we all know, and budgets are the big things in League of Ireland football these days. We've seen how much Cork was over the last 5 years, where they were all main contenders for leagues, but we're out of the night, down third or fourth from the bottom. You know, Shamrock Rovers has taken over the mantle. But on the night's game, I thought Shamrock Rovers' play was just get it over the top for Green. And I thought all two centre-halves were reading it, like, very, very well. And as Pat says, plenty of midfield men. But I always say it, I can't look out and see what role they have. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I'm puzzled on, the Rovers' effort. But once again, 3-1, we give a bad goal away. What comes back out of the Dundalk team? Only the character. Because you could see the legs had gone for a while. And, you know, the boys know I'm playing football the same as myself. The heavy schedule that Dundalk are going through, 21 games in 7, or 7 games in 21 days, like, you know, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous on supporters, because we can't get the best out of the players. And Dundalk have this character that they can bounce back no matter how bad or how good they're playing. And I think that shows you why they're league champions.
And John, I asked McDuffie the question about Vinnie Perth. I mean, there was a lot of pressure because I know Pat on Saturday Sport at the weekend was talking about what a terrific achievement it would be by Vinnie Perth, because a lot of people assume he's got the best players, it's easy, it's just a case of putting them out there and they'll do their stuff. It was a difficult job to inherit in many respects.
Yeah, well, everyone says it's easy taking over a star team, but you have to go in the dressing room and you have to put your own ideas into the team. Not that he had many ideas to change, because Stephen Kenny had built a good foundation, no doubt in the world about that. But like, Vinnie Perth has conducted himself really, really well. I interview him there for the local radio, and he's not afraid to tell you what's wrong and what's right. And he's a very honest manager. He came in here, got a bad deal too when the three midfielders were injured, and seen it out. And Dundalk were still winning over those games. And as Pat and yourself tell there, you know, that's what wins your leagues, those points at the end of it. And Dundalk will look back at that and say, Vinnie Perth, well, you know, Vinnie Perth, if he's a contractor signed this year, they should be down in the room now signing them up, because he's been brilliant for Dundalk and he's been brilliant to talk to and brilliant to deal with.
Before we let you go, John, the treble, is it on?
The treble's on.
It's well on now, isn't it?
Even though I'm talking to two Sligo men here, you know. But isn't it wonderful? Like, it hasn't been done since Derry City. And like, it just goes to show you the calibre of this team. And there's no one can say they won't do it, because they seem to bounce back no matter how bad they are or how good they are. They seem to have always something left in the tank. And thanks be to God, hopefully I'll be alive to see the treble. And it's something I'll never forget.
Well, enjoy it all. Enjoy it all, whatever way it plays out.
But
it's already been a terrific year.
God bless you. Thanks for everything.
Take care. Also here, James O'Toole from Soccer Republic. James, how would you assess this achievement, this latest achievement of success by Dundalk Football Club?
I think, as the lads have said there, it's a great achievement for them tonight. They were a little bit rattled with balls over the top, and some kind of, as Vinnie said there at the end, very un-Dundalk-like the last 15 minutes of that game. But again, it's another trophy in the bag. They've done it with four games to go, and as we talked, me and Alan have spoken about this before, the pressure under Vinnie was actually immense when you think about it. He come in, and it's the first season after Stephen Kenny. He got those two injuries in the very first game against Sligo here, and he thought, ooh, this could be a little bit shaky, but he didn't. He pushed on. They haven't lost a domestic game since the 12th of April, losing away to Sligo. That's just an amazing run to go on. And we've all discussed how far they were behind Rovers with games in hand, but games in hand, you have to go and win them, and they did, and they proved it here again tonight. The best team usually wins this league, and I think that's all you can say about this. The best team has won the league.
Yeah, I mentioned the point that you made at the weekend, Pat, about Vinnie Perth coming in, and you know, the temptation is, as a manager, to stamp your authority, to adopt your own style, to change things, but he didn't. He was preaching continuity from the get-go.
No, he did. What I liked about it was, I mean, to come into a dressing room like that, where you've got a lot of big players who have won a lot of trophies, you know, and Vinny's come in as being an assistant, and then he's taken on the mantle of being the manager. And he didn't make loads of changes. The one thing he did think of, which is, I think, is important, is he gave more game time to a lot more players. And that maybe helped him in regards to keeping that squad together, that they all felt, it's a new manager, I've got a chance. The ones that maybe didn't play under Stephen a lot, you know, they all got loads of games. If you look over the course of the season, the amount of players they use is frightening for a team that's normally, when you have a league winning team, you can nearly pick it every week. Dundalk have chopped and changed their team a lot, and I think that's helped them with the players. But listen, make no bones about it, you have good players, you've got to be able to manage them. You know, we've seen over the course of a lot of years where, you know, clubs have had good players, but they haven't been able to be managed properly to get them to win trophies. And you have to give them credit for that, because it is, and he'd be relieved tonight. The one thing he will be of being there is relief. You don't celebrate your relief, and he will be relieved because he knows he's got the main trophy in the bag. Anything else this season, League Cup's a bonus, FAI Cup will be a major bonus on the back of it being a treble, but the league title, Champions League football, you know, at all, what they're trying to do here as a club, they need Champions League football, need the revenue for that, so that's very important for him. That's where the bit of pressure may have come from. But listen, to be 12 points behind, or even 13 points behind Rovers at one stage, to turn it around, I think they're 15 ahead tonight, it's 28 points.
A huge swing, isn't it?
It's incredible. It doesn't say it's not good for Rovers, but it's a huge turnaround from Dundalk, and they did pick up Robbie Benson, Chris Shields, two big players for them. I think McElhenney was out for a while. All big players in that central midfield area for them. They rode out the storm, got themselves back in, and they've cantered to a league total, absolutely cantered to it.
Okay, more from the lads here very shortly, but let's get some reaction. And Siobhan Madigan has been speaking to the Dundalk captain and striker, Pat Hooban.
Yeah, you know, it's brilliant, you know, to get it done and dusted tonight. You know, Shamrock Rovers are a very good side. You know, earlier in the season they were 13 points ahead of us, and you know, people were thinking the league was over, but we didn't think that at all. And you know, we showed great character and desire throughout the year when we pulled out some great results. And you know, it took us to where we are now, and fully deserved league winners, 15 points clear in the league.
You need to be mentally strong to overturn a deficit like that, and it speaks volumes of your new management team this year.
Yeah, definitely, but it's the will and the drive that's in the whole dressing room anyways from previous years. You know, there's a lot of lads there who've won 5-6 league medals, and you can show the experience at the end of the day in the league. So here, look, 15 points kind of speaks for itself. It's just great to do it tonight against, you could say, our rivals.
Plenty of goals this season, plenty of them shared around, but you got your fair share also. A little bit disappointed maybe not to have got on the score tonight?
Yeah, you know, I'd be lying to say to you if I wasn't disappointed to score. I want to score every game, but, you know, it's just a bit different this year to last year, I suppose. I'm doing a lot more work, you know, off the ball, and but here, look, as long as we're winning trophies, that's the main thing, and you know, creating other chances for other people is part and parcel of the game, and I'm just happy that, you know, we're at the end of the day that we've a league medal around my neck again.
And if you could save a goal maybe for a cup semi-final to come on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a big one. You know, Sligo have been, you know, a difficult opponent this year. We're the only team to beat them out of 13 down in their place, and so, you know, we've all to play for there, so looking forward to that on Sunday.
Pat Hoobin speaking to Siobhan Madigan here at Oriel Park. Alan Cawley, their minds quickly will turn to the potential treble and taking on Sligo Rovers in the Cup. But in terms of the league, and Pat referenced the Champions League next season and the prospects of progressing in that competition, that's perhaps for another day, but I'm sure it'll be in Vinnie Perth's mind as well as he plans for the future.
Yeah, because I think if you stand still, you'll get left behind, Adrian, and I think they're always probably forward planning and forward thinking. I'm sure there's discussions going on in the background, not only with Vinnie, but maybe the investors, and obviously we all know that they're kind of heavily involved in trying to make that breakthrough in Europe. So that certainly will be on their minds. It won't be on their minds tonight, obviously they're going to enjoy themselves, but I'm sure them discussions will have taken place because, as Pat said, they've cantered to it. Like, if they didn't win it tonight, they had another four games. It was only a matter of time, really, when they were going to win it. But that is the thing. You have to make the impact. And I suppose that's the one thing now in terms of Vinny. He's got the monkey off his back with, I suppose, the League Cup and the league, which he wanted. His eyes will turn to Europe, even though they got through the one round this year. Stephen progressed to the group stage. That will have to be a target for them. And I suppose you have to aspire to these things, especially, I suppose, with the resources and the investment that's going into this club now. That has to be a target for them. And I'm sure it absolutely will become next year.
Yeah, we'll come back to Dundalk very shortly and we'll hear from their goalkeeper, Gary Rogers. But Pat, it is a worry because at the moment, obviously, Cork City have gone backwards for now at least, and hopefully they'll come again. I'm sure they will. Shamrock Rovers, that big turnaround that we referenced. The onus now is on Shamrock Rovers next year to really try and push Dundalk. Are they capable of doing that?
Well, listen, they've got some very, very good players, there's no doubt about that, and they've invested heavily in the squad, and, you know, they've too many of the same type of player for me, and I think that's something they've got to look at, mixing the game up a little bit more. I think Dundalk do that. You see a period of Rovers pressed Dundalk high tonight with Jack Bourne and Bourke behind. They were out to go and make Dundalk kick the ball. Dundalk are comfortable going to kick the ball. Gary Rogers pops it into Hoobin, who's a big, strong boy. And Rovers don't have that. You know, for me, it's all in front of you, and it's too easy. The next, you know, the going into the off-season for them is... And I think even Friday is a big game for Rovers. If Rovers can get to the cup final and win it, then the season becomes a decent season, a good season, to be fair to them. If they were to get turned over on Friday, it'll be a difficult season for them. And that's the way football is. One game can change that. But if you look at Dundalk tonight, for me, they've got game changers. They've got match winners. I don't see Rovers having that. Jack Bourne plays way too deep for me. I think Vinnie would have been delighted to see him getting the ball off the back four. Let him have it all day there. Same with Bourke. They all want to go in there and get it. And that's where they've got to try... get the balance of their squad better. It's probably overbalancing, overcompensating midfielders. Too many of them there all to play the same way, you know. So they are the only club, I think, financially, they are the only ones that will be able to. In fairness, and I said on Saturday, nobody's improved. And it was probably a little bit harsh on Derry because I think they have improved. You know, he's done a good job there, Decky. He's brought in some good young players and they are improving. Whether they've got the clout to go and match Dundalk, I don't think so, or Shamrock Rovers financially. But I think Rovers are the only one that can put up a fight to Dundalk over the next couple of seasons. But listen, it's going to take, you know, more investment from Rovers. And the other side is, how do Dundalk improve? How do Dundalk improve? You look around the league and you think, who would they take out of the other teams to make them better? I think it's now time for Dundalk to look outside as well and see, can they? Because I think when you go to Europe, you need a better quality of player. And that's not being disrespectful to the Dundalk players because they're being fantastic. But you need a better quality of player on the ball. and they've probably got the best that's around in the league at the moment. So how do you improve that? I think they're going to have to look outside, and that's a big ask because it's difficult to get players to come to this league.
And those are the kind of players you need to progress in Europe, obviously.
Yeah, I think so. I think you've got technically better players, and you know, with what they have, you know, if they can add two or three, you know, of that type of player. Listen, it's very difficult, you know, being there as a manager, and you're trying to get players to come in from outside, and it's difficult to get them in, you know. The league is not seen in a great light outside there, you know. We've acknowledged how good Dundalk are, and they are a fantastic team, you know, but it's how you make, how does Vinny make this team better? You know, obviously working with them, making them better players, that's one way of doing it, but obviously as well, adding better players to the squad, and it's going to take a little bit of work for that. But going back to Rovers again, they're going to have to look at the way they play the game. How do they get all them attacking players higher up the pitch on the ball for me? That's the problem at the moment. They're too easy to play against Rovers.
On those issues with them, I think these are issues, obviously we can see them. These were issues that were there at the start of the season, Adrian. And the one thing Shamrock Rovers, in my opinion, were crying out for was a centre forward. Aaron Green has been in this league a long time, and he's done great for them, don't get me wrong. And he'll do a lot of willing running off their ball. He'll be a great team player. He'll do all the donkey work for you. But you need a fella, if you're going to overtake Dundalk, to get you at least 20 goals. And he was never going to do that. How did it look outside the box? It was a similar issue for me to the goalkeeping issue that they dillied and dallied with, eventually to get Manus in, but it's far too late. But he's a great goalkeeper, and he's proved just the difference that he can make. That would be the same thing for me in terms of a centre forward. The midfield thing, he went and signed Gary O'Neill in the off-season when he already had Dylan Watts and Greg Bulger and all these other players in midfield. You've Ronan Finn, who's one centre midfielder, shunted out onto the right tonight. So there is far too many, and these are things that I feel he should have foreseen. Then you go back to the reality of the situation in terms of his 3 years there. The first year, they were 22 points behind. That's allowed for because he's building. The following year, they're 25 points behind. Now, this year already, with four games to go, they're 15 points behind. So you can ask the question, Adrian, is inroads being made? Now, I think they're a better-looking team this year, don't get me wrong, but it's okay going and beating the likes of UCD and Finn Harps and Waterford and all these teams. But you look at the games against Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers this year, out of the eight games that they've played against those teams, they've picked up... Bowes. Against Bowes and their nearest rivals, against Bowes and Dundalk, out of the eight games they've played against them, they've picked up 4 points out of 24. They've beaten Bowes once and they've drawn with Dundalk. They've lost six. The other games, they've lost six of them. So they're the facts. That's the reality of it. Like, they look back at the end of the season and they'll say, oh, well, we were better this year and all. You're 15 points still behind them with four games to go. So that's the argument for them. And as I say, he's 3 years there now. It's not like he's only in the door 6 months or a year. He's 3 years there now, Stephen Bradley.
James, Shamrock Rovers?
Yeah, it's kind of, as Alan points out, as Palace point out as well, I think every midfielder that's come up in this league this season has been bought by Shamrock. Neil Ferrugia as well is sitting there not getting even on the bench. It's a problem. It's slight improvements in Shamrock Rovers. But to tell you the truth, I don't think that Dundalk team really improved on what they were last year. I think they've won this at a canter without actually vastly improving the squad they had last year and the way they played last year. It's just that nobody touched them last year, nobody touched them this year, and they need somebody to push them on and push them on. Pat will tell you, in fairness, Pat with Linfield and Linfield pushing on, Linfield doing well in Europe this year, you need teams around you giving you good games when you come up to them European games. So you're playing at a level that's slightly above where you would be playing normally, and then Europe kind of looks after itself, and you're at a top level going into Europe, and that's what they need here in this league. At the moment, they're not getting it.
I think that may have affected Dundalk in Europe this year. I think the one blip that Vinny will look at, and you know, we're not being critical here by any stretch, because I've been there, is their performances in Europe probably weren't as good as they would have expected to be. And that's, is that down to the case where they're not getting heavily tested every week, and you're going into games maybe undercooked a little bit, you know. Now listen, the argument that is, Linfield went in and did really well without playing any games as such, you know. So it's, but I think
the league itself, Pat, I think the league has regressed, because you have Dundalk, you have Shamrock Rovers. I was saying there's 15 points of a gap. After that, then, in fairness, the Bowes have done great, but I think they're punching way above their weight in terms of what they're spending and the resources, and Keith Long's done a marvellous job. Fairness to Decky as well, there was a big turnover with the players at the start of the season, and he's trying to put his own stamp on it, and I think they've done very well. After that, like, I'm looking at St. Pat's, they've scored 26 goals, conceded 28, and they're sitting in fifth on, with a chance of still getting into Europe. And below that, you've Waterford struggled, Cork have been a major disappointment, Sligo are kind of where you would expect them to be, and calling a spade, I think it's been an average enough league this year, to be honest. And that's not taking anything away from Dundalk. They can only do what they're doing, and they've been phenomenal in terms of the form and unbeaten records and going 22, 23 games unbeaten and all that. But in terms of the rest of them putting up a fight, I don't see it.
Well, it is Dundalk's night. Let's hear from their goalkeeper, Gary Rogers.
Gary, yet again champion of Ireland. Do they get sweeter with age?
Oh, look, I think any time you win a league, it's good, and obviously to do it here at home in front of home fans, it was brilliant, you know, and obviously against really tough opposition who've you know, really put it up to us this year. It's great to get across the line and finish the job tonight.
And to do it with five games in a row, that must be some sort of a record.
Well, look, I don't know what sort of a record. It's obviously early to finish to win the league, but look, we'll see it out as best we can. And you know, we have a big game on Sunday with Cup semi-final to look forward to. So, look, there's still lots to play for. But it's a great night to go in there. I suppose you work all season, you know, to get a league title and to do it in the fashion we've done it, you know, I'm very proud of all the lads and the staff here at the club.
And a new gaffer, a new management team in total this season.
Yeah, look, it's great for, you know, Vinny coming in and John and Higgy, you know, in the first season to fill the boots of Stephen Kenny, probably the best manager in League of Ireland history. I think, you know, he's done a fantastic job here and the boys have took it on from there and you know, it's a great season for them as well. And look, everyone at the club is obviously delighted. This is what we aim to do at the start of the season, what we set out to do, and it's great that we've achieved our goal.
A double in the bag. People will start talking of a potential treble, a semi-final though to come this weekend.
Yeah, look, it's there. Obviously, there's two. You'd have to win two games, but you can't look any further ahead than the semi-final against Sligo on Sunday. And Sligo have been, you know, really tough opposition for us this year. They're one of the only two teams to beat us. So we know that we'll have to be on our best to go and get the job done. But look, it's certainly achievable. But you know, it's not achievable unless you go and do the business on Sunday.
Well, that's Gary Rogers speaking to Siobhan Madigan, his 200th appearance for Dundalk this evening, and yet another league medal for Gary Rogers. Special night for him and for all involved with Dundalk. Let's hear from another key player for Dundalk. Here's Chris Shields.
Absolutely fantastic, and probably the best way to cap it off, you know, to beat your title rivals tonight and go and win it is just, it's a cut above the rest, and it really means a lot to us.
They didn't make it easy for you, did they?
No, like, they've been a good team all year. Probably should have been closer, really, in hindsight, they admit that the same. But you have to win games different ways. We proved that in Waterford, proved in the EA Sports final, and proved it again tonight. You've got to dig in sometimes, and that's what we did.
Chris, you've been here every step of the way of this modern Dundalk era, I suppose. How does this title triumph rank?
Absolutely brilliant. To win 5 out of 6 has not been a dominance like it, you know, and it's, I suppose it's just for this group of players. I've been with, seen people come and go, but there's a core group there that are absolutely fantastic within the club and within the squad. And the life of Vinny himself, Vinny, Rory, John, everyone involved in the squad, because it's a massive, massive effort from everybody involved. You look at lads, there's lads in the stand, there's lads that can't make the 18. It's very, very hard for them, but that's what we do for everyone in the squad.
And the treble is on.
I'll see you Sunday, Tony. Cheers, Tony. Thanks very much.
That's Chris Shields speaking to Tony O'Donoghue just after the full-time whistle, and Tony said to him, Pat, the treble is on, and he said, I'll see you Sunday. The lads, the Dundalk players, will have to refocus quite quickly. I know that, you know, other teams, when they win league titles or win trophies, the temptation is to enjoy yourself too much, but these Dundalk lads don't strike as the type who will be put off their focus. You know, they'll enjoy tonight, but tomorrow or the day after, they'll really get to focus in on Sunday, won't they?
Of course they will, and when you get a group like this together, you know, you realise that this is one chance you have to win as many medals as you possibly can. You're in a group here that's going to win, but it's going to end at some stage, so you try and make hay while the sun shines, and they'll know that. Listen, Sunday will be a tough game from Sligo, on a decent run at the moment as well, and good cup pedigree, so I'm sure they'll celebrate a little bit tonight and get themselves ready for Sunday, but it's a tough game for them. But like I said, you're at a club in a period where the domination is huge. You want to get as many on the board as you can, and you know, and he's to me, he is what epitomises this Dundalk team, you know. And I think Alan spoke earlier on, and he was here when they were scrapping to stay in the league, and I remember Chris playing at Bray as well, and he looked at an average player, would be critical of him, but he's turned himself into a fantastic player and a fantastic leader and a fantastic club player for Dundalk, and he just holds the whole thing together, and he knows his job, which is really important. He's not looking for everything. He holds the team together. He knows he's allowed. His job is to make sure everybody that's going to cause problems for the opposition is allowed to do that, knowing that if they lose it, he's there to mop up and clean up and give them time to get back in. So he's been a fantastic player for Dundalk over the last 4 or 5 seasons.
You've been singing his praises for years.
I like him, and as Pat alluded to, I was at Bray when he came in as a young kid, and if you had to say to me he'd go on and be probably one of the most dominant players in the league, I probably would have laughed at you at the time, but that's exactly what he's gone on to become. And I think as well what's important with Chris, Adrian, is he's such a humble individual as well, like most of them. Like, that's the one thing I really admire about this Dundalk group, the whole lot of them. No matter what success they've had, they've never got above their station, they've never got too big for their boots. Maybe that was Stephen's influence and obviously Vinny's carried that on, or even amongst the players themselves, but you never see them kind of swanning around as if they think they're it. Like, obviously here tonight they're the ones going for the league, but it was all about hard work and grit and determination and digging in, and that's what I love about them. Like, there's and maybe again going back to Stephen, it was the characters that he signed at the time, good individuals in the dressing room. If you go back, it wasn't fellas who were like the marquee players in the league, it was journeymen, all almost the likes of Massey, Shields, all these boys at the start looking to prove a point and a hunger about them. And obviously, as Pat said, since the success has come, it's almost as if they've realised, lads, we can really kind of make hay here and get ourselves 5, 6, 7 league titles, a few cups, whatever the case may be. And that's the sense that I get from them. And obviously they'll enjoy themselves tonight, but their eyes will quickly turn to the game on Sunday, because the opportunities to win a league come around kind of few and far between, but to win trebles there, and that's the thing that they're looking at now, Adrian. There's so many league titles, they want to make records and break records, and as I say, the treble in touching distance now, that's exactly where their minds will go.
They'll be red hot favourites on Sunday. Sligo perhaps need an awful lot to go for them on the day, wouldn't they?
Yeah, of course, Adrian, but that's not to say Sligo don't have a chance. And I think obviously without us kind of being biased, Sligo will have a huge crowd down there as well. Like, they've good cup pedigree, as Pat said, as well, as we all know about. There'll be a brilliant atmosphere, and I'm sure Liam will look to cause them problems. Obviously they've beaten them already this year, Sligo have beaten Dundalk this season, so that'll give them huge hope. They're on a decent little run of form as well. Parks is scoring goals, he has 11 league goals, Ronan Coughlin is chipping in with goals as well, so they will cause them problems, hopefully. But of course Dundalk are going into as red hot favourites, and as you say, they will, an awful lot will need to go for them. Hopefully for our case it does, Adrian.
Well, let's get more reaction from Oriel Park tonight, this time from the losing dressing room. Here's the Shamrock Rovers manager, Stephen Bradley.
Our game plan was to come and win the game, but they've obviously won it tonight. Look, they've earned that right to win it tonight, or whenever it was. So, congratulations to them.
Your team selection raised a few eyebrows. People thought maybe you might rest up a few players ahead of potentially now your biggest game of the season.
No, we these players are at their best when they're playing regular games, and we've a lot of recovery between now and Friday. It's not an issue.
You've made a real game of it, though. You came right back into it and showed that they can be found out at the back.
Well, we're a good side, of course. I expect no different from my group. We'll be giving away two really bad goals in the first half, and ultimately that's what's cost us the game.
As we look ahead to Friday, how are you fixed now, injury-wise?
Fine, no injuries. Look good. We'll be fine. We in the morning, recover, and we go get ready for Friday.
It's a huge game now, Friday. You know, it brings huge pressure, I suppose, on this group of players as well.
No. This group is fine. They'll be fine. Friday's a big game. It was always a big game. Tonight doesn't change that. It's a semi-final of a cup. That's the way it goes.
The derby, though, has something special about it.
Yeah, of course. No, I'm not getting away, but it doesn't add anything. Tonight doesn't add anything to our game on Friday. It's a semi-final against our rivals. It doesn't get any bigger for us. So, but there's no pressure. This group is fine. We're going in the right direction. They'll come again.
Are you at a disadvantage having played now tonight?
Would you like to not have three games in a week? Of course, but we have. The tricky one was Friday and tonight, because we had the less recovery between the games. Tonight and Friday's not too bad.
What's the plan between now and then?
In, analyse and get ready like we normally do. We can't feel sorry for ourselves. We won't. I know this group. They'll be fine. We go again Friday.
Daly Mount Park set to be a hive, an absolute hive, no more than tonight was.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a great atmosphere. Semi-final, Dublin Derby. It's set up to be a really, really good match. And we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's Siobhan Madigan speaking to Stephen Bradley, the Shamrock Rovers manager there. Pat, it's a huge match for Shamrock Rovers. And, of course, for Bulls. Bulls shouldn't be lost in the big picture. But for Shamrock Rovers, after losing out in the league title race, Stephen Bradley talking about the importance of the game. And it is huge. And I'm sure for the players tonight at Oriel Park, I'm not saying their focus wasn't on the game, because speaking to Stephen after the scoreless draw at Pat's on Friday night, he said that, you know, players have to go out and try and win matches. But this is a massive game now for the club.
Oh, it's a massive game. It's one I'm looking forward to. For me, the Bowes Rovers game is the one in the league that gets the juices flowing, particularly at Daly Mount. It just has that feel about it, that it's proper old ground, proper atmosphere. And listen, it's Bowes have been very, very good this season against Rovers. You know, Rovers stopped the run in the last league game, nip and tuck. Bowes could have took something out of the game. But, you know, it is a huge game for Rovers. And like I said, the change of a season can be on that. You know, you get to a cup final and you were to win it on the day, then the season becomes a really good season for Rovers. If it get turned over by Bowes, you know, it becomes you're 15 points behind, maybe end up 18, 20 out of cup. Then it becomes, as I well know, a different season at Rovers, you know. So it's a massive, massive game. But the other side of that, you know, can't forget, it's a big game for Bowes as well. It's a massive game for Bowes. Bowes will be looking on the back of where they are. If they can get to Europe, what an achievement for where they are as a club, you know. So it has all the hallmarks of being a really tasty, tasty game. Full house, proper atmosphere. Really looking forward to it.
Alan, how do you see it going?
Well, to me, they've been the highlight of the league, the Dublin Derbies. I've been at every one of the major, and the atmosphere, they've been absolutely brilliant. And Bowes do kind of, I know they beat them the last day, Shamrock Rovers, but the record they have is unbelievable, and they've beaten them three times this year. Now, I know they stopped, they're at Shamrock Rovers, so I'd actually fancy Bowes going into that one on Friday night. The atmosphere and all, I think it's going to be unbelievable. They've had a tough game here tonight, Shamrock Rovers. They had a tough game on Friday. They'll have to pick themselves up, and Bowes will be, they're waiting in the long grass for them. They'll be ready to go Friday night. And as Pat said, like I keep going back to the point, with these 3 years there, the points gap, you can ask the question all night long, is there inroads being made? I think he needs to win a trophy and the cup, and obviously he has Bowes in his way, he has Dundalk in his way. It's going to be a tough ask, or he could have Sligo Rovers in his way. It's going to be a tough ask, but I firmly believe if you're in a job 3.5 years at a club the size of that and the resources that Stephen Bradley has at his disposal, I think he should be winning a cup or winning some sort of a trophy or getting to the final. And I think he has to win the cup to try and put some sort of a gloss or spin on the season, because you can spin it all you want if you don't win cups or you don't win leagues, but the stats speak for themselves in terms of the points difference year after year, and they're way off again this year.
James, how do you see it going?
I think it's going to be difficult for Bowes. I think if you look at the squad that Bowes brought to Derry on Friday, it was completely full of kids, literally kids, one only 14.
Yeah, but you'd like to think they're all fit, James, for Friday this week.
But that's the thing, they have to be fit, yeah. And he has to be able to put out his best starting 11 he can. And it's great, you see the pictures during the week of queues down the lane, out towards the church and stuff like that, trying to get tickets for that game. It's great that these matches have been brilliant. The sold-out sign has gone up at nearly every single one of them, and that's even at an increased capacity Tallaght Stadium as well. I think it'd be great for the league. I think the atmosphere inside in Danemount is just, it's special. It's an old ground. It's got the old floodlights, and once the floodlights are on in Danemount and there's a good crowd in it, it's one of the best places to go and watch football, I think. I think it's brilliant. Dilapidated as it is, it's still a brilliant place to watch football. Fingers crossed Bowes can put out a good team. If they can, it's going to be a cracking cup tie.
Yeah, I don't know if you give us your verdict pass for Friday yet. They're putting you on the spot.
You didn't call it either. I'm the only one that said it.
I know. I'm going to call Bowes. I think Bowes will do it in front of that crowd. I think they will just nick it.
I'm with him as well on the fact that with their full team now. Yeah, I think they need their full team. Mandrill.
Pat's very quiet at the moment.
I just need a team to beat Dundalk and stop him for the treble. That's all I care about.
Let it go.
You have to be careful here. I'll have plenty of phone calls tonight and tomorrow when whatever team I name. But listen, I think, you know, there's, and it probably goes against the logic. I think Bowes have had the upper hand and they've played really good. And the concern for me with Rovers is that Bowes have worked them out, let them have it, be nice and compact. They shift the play to one side, they force it down Roberto a little bit more than other clubs, and they make him play from there. And it's caused Rovers a problem, and even tonight, playing into midfield, getting caught and getting robbed. But listen, I'm going to go with my heart rather than my head, and I think Rovers will end up in the cup final, and I think it'll be a Rovers Dundalk cup final.
Okay, let's get one last piece of reaction here at Oriel Park. I'm delighted to say we're joined by the Dundalk head coach, Vinnie Perth. Vinnie, congratulations, job done. Must be an immense feeling of satisfaction. Congratulations.
It really is, yeah. I think, you know, there's no doubt that, you know, we lost a massive figurehead in January, and people probably questioned could we kick on, and well, there's a real core group here that stood up to the plate, and they've been relentless. Like, you look at tonight, the way they started the game, it was our 16th game in 48 days, and they've been driving it, and the fitness levels they showed. A bit disappointed in the last 15 minutes. I don't think we won the game to Dundalk. I was disappointed in that, but the players have been brilliant this season, and they've really stood up to the plate.
It's great to hear you talk about fitness levels, and it's great to see that the steps actually have puffed you out as well, like the rest of us. But that's great for you. It must be brilliant for you, for the whole squad, the whole team, all the backroom staff. As you said, like, this was a massive pressure season for you, and to come here now, you're two trophies down and a possibly third. You could be one of the most successful managers ever here at this club.
Yeah, listen, you know, it's a big club, and they won a lot of trophies over years, and you know, people play a big part in this, and it's a bit like myself. I know how difficult it is, because someone like Rory Higgins is forgotten, because I know that I was that soldier as such. You know you collect balls and bibs, but Rory drives these lads on Monday morning, and people like that do a huge job. John Gill is there for us, and he's our father figure, and he keeps us on the straight and narrow sometimes. But you know, it just takes a hell of a lot to make a club like this achieve what they've achieved, and there's no doubt that Stephen left a legacy here, and we've continued to build on that. But at the same time, you know, there's a core bunch of players in the middle of this that have been here since sort of the new era, day one, the new era. You look at Gartland, Boyle, Gannon, Massey, Shields and Mountney. They've been here since the first day and of this sort of new era. And they drive that dressing room, and, you know, people like that really stand up when I needed them this year.
I think that's a valid point, isn't it, Vinny? Because, you know, when you get a dressing room that is so good, you know, as a manager, you're feeding that and you're just taking away, right? You're not looking to change. And I think that's probably the credit that Feeney and his staff deserve. That sometimes, I know I came in as a young manager as well, and you think, right, I'll go in and I'll put my stamp on it and I'll change it. And I said earlier on, there's not a lot of change, visual change, and obviously you've got your own ideas. And the one change for me is probably players, and I said this earlier, players have got more game time. And I think that's helped with the group as well, that they all feel, you know, I've now got a chance under a different manager. You know, but listen, and I've said it as well earlier on, people think it's easy to come in and manage because you've got good players. And we've seen it over the course of years where managers haven't been able to do that. So to come in and take it on and go and done what they've done is a fantastic achievement. And I know John and I know Rory well, and they're great lads, and enthusiasm. And that's the one thing, when you have a backroom staff, you have to have enthusiastic people that want to drive it well. They'll probably, like, John has been a manager, so you know, Rory's a young coach, loves the game, wants to develop, wants to learn. You know, so it if you haven't got that right as a coach and as a manager, your backroom staff is so important to you. And like you say, a lot of them get lost in the background and people don't know, but as a manager, you know what they brought to the table. And, you know, like I said, it's been a fantastic achievement.
Were you edgy tonight, nervous tonight? Because as a lot of people expect, it was a case of when you'd get over the line rather than if you get over the line. But I presume you wanted to really do it in style tonight.
Yeah, we did. And I think we did it in style to a point, as in some of the goals were brilliant and some of the play, and we hit the post and stuff like that. But to go back on Pat's point, like, I need to be really clear, and I don't want to give Pat a big head, because the two of us have clashed for many years, and I'd like to think in a respectful way, both on and off the pitch. But what I will say about that is, like, and he mightn't like me saying it, but I studied what Pat did when he took over Shelbourne. I spoke to Steve William, our goalkeeping coach here, and I look at Dion Heary's and the Stewie Bournes and these people, even Dave Crawley here from Dundalk, proper leaders, like, and don't go in and change these people. Don't go in and sort of make them something they're not. The hardest part for me was getting Massey to understand Jarvis is behind him, or you know, to let Gartland know that Cleary's coming and I can't stop him. What do you want me to do? That's the hard part for us as a club. That was the management part of it. But I, you know, we can't take that away from that group of players. They drive you and they make your job easier. They make you look better, as you know. But at the same time, when Pat went in at the time of Shelbourne, people think this is an easy job. But you know, the difference with probably between me and Pat was, in all fairness, he was the star of the game, I wasn't. So you do have to earn your stripes. And I think myself and Rory was here last year, certainly earned our stripes at this club, and we probably deserved that crack at it this year. And maybe that's me being a little bit cocky or a little bit confident, but at the same time, I think we deserved it.
It's an interesting point, and I going back to when I started at Shells, and again what I said earlier on, I don't know what Finney's feeling to them, but mine was sheer just relief. Nothing else, just absolute relief. Not, you know, didn't let people down, you know, back people that backed you. What in my case, Ollie, you know, I'm sure Vinny's had that back in here to the board and the people around the club. And it's just relief to say, great, that's done. I've backed everything that I said I would do, and here's the trophy. And for me, I think as a manager, what I will say to him is to enjoy it. Because it comes a time when you have the other side of the game that we've all been through, and you get the bullet and you get the door. And like I said about the players here, they know they're here at a club that's capable of winning a lot of trophies. It's the same as a manager. Go and enjoy it, because that's the big thing about football. That's what you're involved in, is to enjoy it.
It's interesting, Vinny, that you mentioned in the post-match interview, and obviously there again, that you were disappointed with the last 50 minutes. But we were actually applauding you overall in terms of the difference, I think, that separates you, the Dundalk lads, from the whole lot, from all the other teams, is that you can dig in and fight and show a bit of grit, and there's so many facets to your game in terms of, whereas we're kind of being critical of Shamrock Rovers that they're very one-dimensional, it's all nicey-nicey and pretty, and no one epitomises that more. I know you don't like singling out players, but obviously Chris Shields is that fella, you're looking at him there tonight. Duffy gets all the plaudits for the goal, McElhenney for the cross, Benson for the header, all these kind of technically gifted players, but Shields, without Shields, and not just probably tonight or your first season, the last number of years, and I know it's unfair to be singling out one player because there's so many driving it, but as we said up here, to me he epitomises the whole kind of identity of Dundalk in the last number of years.
Yeah, there's no doubt Chris is right in the heart of it, but when you look at even a good example of sort of, I don't want to sound too grand in the Dundalk way, that sounds real grand, but Gary Rogers is 38 this week and he's fitter now than he ever was. I'm not a fitness guru, as you can tell by the look of me, right? But he does that, the players do that. He goes into that gym over there in the mornings and he's in before everyone else, and he's at it, and he does his extra work, and if he isn't doing it, by the way, Brian Gartland will tell him, or Aaron McCary will tell him, and that is, again, going back to the point myself and Pat made, it is player driven. Managers have to put the structure in place to allow that. We have to be so focused. We have to give them information that they don't like sometimes. You have to drive them on and be obsessed. All the good managers, I think, are obsessed about the game, and they don't, as Pat said, don't enjoy it too much. But you have to.
You're applauding everyone when it's all good and all grand. But at what point then, there must come a time where you have to get onto them, you have to pull them up. And they're obviously receptive to that as well.
I had a massive row this week, a massive row with Robbie Benson, because he's had a difficult year and he felt his year was a disaster for him, and he broke his leg. Then he came back against Carabag, a knee into the ribs. He wasn't sure what it wasn't fractured, but there was damage done to the lung, and we had to buy the time with him. He's come back and played himself into the league a little bit. And we had a major row to say, what are you doing? Your Robbie Benson, I know, is the number eight who ends up in the box and scores goals. And he didn't like it too much, but at the same time then, he said to me after the game, you were spot on, you were right. So, again, I'm about to give myself another compliment, past stop me, but I'm just making the point that that's where you've got to see above the group and where they're doing. And Robbie thinks he's doing everything right, and he's a very happy lad, he's jolly, and he's cracking jokes. No, drive him on to the next level.
But isn't that the management part of it? How do I get the best out of Robbie Benson? I maybe go and have a pop from him. I know I'd have been a bit like that. Alan played under me at times, and I had too many pops at him. But it is, you've got to know which players, what does he need, what's going to get him going, juices flowing now, you know. And Robbie Benson's a good example. He's had a stop-start season, you know, but there he turns up tonight with a fantastic goal, and that's what he's capable of doing. But that's the management bit. That's sometimes the players drive, you know, the fitness, to make sure you work hard and everything. The manager's got to spot them little things to say, how to get the best out of these players. And obviously, when you're winning titles, it's a little bit easier than when you're in the middle of the table.
Vinny, has anybody asked you tonight about the treble by any chance?
Yeah, and to be fair, we haven't hid away from it in any way, shape or form, but we're kind of egging our face come Monday morning. We've been in the middle of Europe, we've been in Cove, we've been in Derry, we've been away to Waterford, and now we go away to Sligo. So if the players are going to do it, they're going to do it the hard way. You know, how do you drive a group like that on? And you set them a really high bar and you challenge them. There is discussions about it, there's no doubt, but we're two games away from history, and to what that great Derry side done under Jim McLaughlin. We're 2 days away from that, so I'm not shying away from it. The gurus tell you one game at a time and all that rubbish. The players want to be driven, they're driven by that. You know, I showed them a slide in pre-season with Celtic and what they do. What's a good season for Celtic? Winning the league. What's a very good season? Winning the double. What's a brilliant season? A treble. And so it's there for them. But for me, pressure's off now. We've won a league, we've won a cup, and we can just enjoy these last two games. And we've the All-Ireland Cup as well to go after as well. So that's great. We've a lot of players injured, so they have an incentive now of another trophy there. There's two trophies to be won between now and the end of the season. And we could end up winning none of them, but I won't be disappointed with what we've done this year.
Okay, congratulations once again. That's Vinny Perth, the head coach of Dundalk. Thanks as well to James O'Toole from Soccer Republic, Pat Fenlon, and also Alan Cawley for joining us. This is the RTÉ Soccer Podcast. Until next week, bye-bye.